The U.S. government is presently suing both Amazon and Google right now for antitrust violations.
Are you constantly chasing the next shiny object? Can't make fast decisions? Don't know what to focus on next? These three questions, used by Steve Jobs and J.D. Rockefeller, by the way, will keep you on track. We'll unveil them soon, but to begin, here's the thing. Distraction is absolutely 100% the death of productivity. You will never accomplish what you want in life or your business if you don't keep yourself and your team focused. Sure, but how do you do that? Well, the answer, surprisingly, comes from Hinduism. Hashtag not joking. These core principles and lessons that have been passed down for literally thousands of years are not to be ignored, whether it be for an e-commerce store or a SaaS company or a local real estate agency or anything in between. Fundamental truths, if they are fundamental, apply to all times and for all places, both in life and in business. So for example, in Hinduism, one of the oldest religions, there is said to be three major gods. Brahma is the god of creation. Vishnu is the god of preservation. And Shiva is the god of destruction. Creation, preservation, and destruction. Hence, each of these gods represents an important season of the universe. And I know what you're thinking. What does this have to do with business? Well, even if you're not Hindu or you don't care about philosophy at all, whenever something has lasted for 5,000 years, you should probably pay attention to it because ignore at your own peril. There is something to learn here. And this one is a doozy. Again, because I know you forgot creation, destruction, preservation. These are the fundamental laws of nature, the constant cycling of death and birth, day and night, spring, winter, autumn, and summer, et cetera, et cetera. Gita says it this way. What belongs to you today belonged to someone else yesterday and will become someone else's tomorrow. Change is, therefore, the law of the universe. This reminds me of the Redwoods in Northern California. I've been there multiple times. They're insanely awe-inducing, granted. But there's also something rather peculiar about their life cycle. Redwood trees are specifically designed to burn. It's crazy. Everywhere in the forest, no matter where you are, there are these towering trees, but there are also these scattered below the canopy birch-like stumps. The reason for this is because in order for redwoods to procreate, they have to first burn. This is how their seeds are spread, which makes sense. They can't constantly replicate because they live for so long. Some of them are hundreds of years old. So of course, they can't be constantly renewed like weeds without first being completely destroyed. The same goes for your personal life. You're constantly learning something new, right? And then you're executing on that, and then you're failing or maybe winning. Depends. But regardless, when something changes, as it always and inevitably does, you have to start over again. The new version kills the older version. It's the same thing in business. Every single year, startups are launching, others are going bankrupt or dying. And then there are businesses that plateau or just maintain themselves. But in any case, there are at least parts of every business that are always growing or dying. I've had clients hire dozens of VAs one year and then go bankrupt the next year. I know huge influencers that burn out and lose their audiences and therefore their revenue, birth, growth, death. Businesses like Walmart, for example, where they have reached a near max capacity for their brick and mortar stores, which they must maintain, but now they also have to evolve into an e-commerce store in an attempt to compete with Amazon. You'll see these same patterns in big companies like Procter & Gamble. P&G knows that they can't compete with the fast, agile startups, so they wait for the winning startups to reach a certain level, like $20 to $100 million in revenue, and then they buy them. That preservation, destruction, and growth cycle then fractals all the way up into corporate America. It's as simple as this. New startups scale. Old companies that can't keep up die. Monopolies are divided up into smaller companies. The U.S. government is presently suing both Amazon and Google right now for antitrust violations, meaning they're too big. So for you, you learn, you execute, something changes in the market, and then you have to pivot again. Jordan Peterson says it this way. You can't beat the universe. If you lie to yourself, or you lie to your spouse, or you lie to your employees, and you skip the realities of the bad times, if you do this, eventually it will catch up with you. You have to eventually stare reality in the face. And that's okay, by the way. Do not be afraid of a down market or tough times. It's natural. Everyone goes through it. In Principles, billionaire Ray Dalio tells a story of when he had to fire, literally, all of his employees one year and go back down to just him and his co-founder in an office. It happens literally to everyone, and especially the best, by the way, because they're the riskiest. But that understanding, intellectually, that's not enough, because that knowledge itself begs the question, what do you maintain and what do you kill? Being at peace with macro trends will not help you choose exactly who you need to fire next. I get it. If things are constantly changing and moving, dying and brought back to life, how can you stay on track without getting lost and forgetting about your core vision? Well, first, let me translate this for you. Really, what we're asking is this. What is the next right move? Enter the Rockefeller habits. John D. Rockefeller is arguably the richest man that gained his wealth not from an inheritance or from royalty, but from capitalism and competition. He was richer than Elon Musk, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett for his time. So how did he get there? Well, first, he has a series of habits he used to focus his team, his leaders, and his employees on for doing the right thing, the next thing. He says that as long as we have a clear goal, a big, hairy, audacious goal, Jim
Collins calls it, and you reverse engineer that goal, and you keep the team focused on the next most important task, if you do this every single day, you'll eventually win. But how can you do this without getting distracted or losing track? Rockefeller says that there are three questions that you have to ask yourself, your executives, and each of your employees, if possible, every single day. One, what should we keep doing? Two, what should we stop doing? And three, what should we start doing? This is the meta habit you should do every single day, no exceptions. And it works for every area of your life. Give it a try. In your personal life, what should you keep doing? Maybe you've been eating healthier than you usually would. So instead of scarfing down the last bit of chocolate leftovers at 2 a.m., instead you eat that spinach you bought earlier in the week in a moment of strength. Or maybe you're sleeping well these days because you're listening to a podcast instead of binge watching Bridgerton on Netflix. So that's something you should keep doing. Keep sleeping well. Don't stop that. And in a few months, I promise you, you'll probably be a whole new person. In short, pat yourself on the back, notice what you're doing well, and keep doubling down on those things. But don't stop there. Next, what should you stop doing? Perhaps you need to stop smoking or cut down on the long hours you spend on TikTok. And lastly, what should you start doing? Simply whatever the hell gets you closer to your personal goals, be it exercising, reading more, spending time outdoors, whatever your goal is, just actually do it. What should I start? What should I continue? What should I stop? Even in your relationships, asking these questions can be transformational. I'll give an example for me and my wife. What should we keep doing? Well, we should continue to go to the gym together every day, phones turned off. That's something that we do, and we should keep doing that. What should we start doing? Well, we have this habit. We often end fights with, name three things that you love about me. This is a tool that maybe we should, instead of just using when we fight, we should do it every single day. Maybe even when we wake up, we could do this. Why only use it when we need it? This is, for us, something that we should start doing. And then finally, what should we stop doing? Well, we should stop holding resentment. If we feel something, we should just say it out loud. Don't let it fester. And this works, by the way, not just for romantic relationships, but in your relationships with your family, your mom or your sister or your dad. It works for all relationships. And guess what? It works for business too. I often say this to my employees. What is your zone of genius? What is the thing that only you can do? You shouldn't just try to be good at that thing. Don't be like a good college athlete. Don't stop even at making it to the Olympics. Keep improving until you can win the gold medal. That's what you should keep doing. Keep amplifying your strengths. Now, what should you stop doing? Well, you should find that anchor that's holding you back and break away from it. Stop doing the thing that's holding you back. What should you start doing? Well, whatever is the next domino that you're avoiding. Usually, this is the hardest thing, by the way. Pro tip, ask yourself, what am I avoiding? And that's probably the thing that you should start doing. And even wilder, this scales all the way up to CEO decisions and how countries should plan the next 20 years. But it also scales down to departments, like what should the accounting team be doing? What should the HR team keep doing? What should the video team within the marketing team start doing? Each one of these things has its own universe. And then you could even go deeper still. What should every member of every single team be doing? This is so obvious that nearly every life-changing business, self-development, or philosophy book has some version of this principle in it, to be honest. The one thing, the domino effect. 1% better every day. Eat the frog. Do hard things. He who chases two rabbits catches none. Chamath says to keep the main thing the main thing. Atomic habits are ones that you ruthlessly prioritize. Notice the pattern. What is our anchor that we need to get rid of? What is our zone of genius? And what is our competitive advantage? Your unique selling point, your unique value proposition, dig into that. What are we terrible at? What do customers complain about us? What causes customers to churn or not return? Stop doing that. All the greatest business books, physics, math, nature, Chinese philosopher, Steve Jobs, everyone's saying the same thing. Do the right thing, stop doing the wrong thing, and most importantly, make it a habit. So here's a business example, just to make it concrete. Let's say your pitch is, our software improves ad performance better than any other tracking software. Something like Hyros, for example. Sure, but what if your onboarding takes 3 weeks of back and forth emailing to the point that it causes your client to want to rip their hair out? You're crushing the top of the Alex Hormozi value equation. You've got great promises and a great guarantee, but you're ignoring the denominator. It's painful to start and it seemingly takes forever. Having the self-awareness to amplify your strengths and eliminate your faults here is the key. You have to be self-aware. Your boat will not go faster if you paint it blue. Instead, you should give the engine more horsepower. But even if you do that and you don't lift the anchor off of the base of the water, you're never going to win the race. The examples and the metaphors are endless, obviously. This is a David Foster Wallace, this is water level idea. If you don't know what that is, two young fish are swimming past an old fish. The old fish says, hey, how's the water? And the young fish turn to the other fish and says, what is water? Meaning it's so obvious that you don't even see it. So let's cut to the chase here. How do we implement this in the real world? Three questions, three simple questions. If you're constantly distracted, constantly chasing the next shiny object, if you self-identify as a visionary, but you're really just giving yourself an excuse to not be focused, you need to ask yourself, what's the thing that I should keep doing? What should I stop doing? And what should I start doing? These questions are your mirror. Take a look. face that reality every single day. And if you do, you will stay focused. Therefore, your leaders will stay focused. And therefore, your employees and your specialists will stay focused. 1 + 1 = you will accomplish your goal. It is the way. Thanks for listening. Until next time.